paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Inform and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is my rock star, Armin Garabedian. He is the CEO and founder of Shadecraft. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I'm really happy to be here.
Good. Welcome. And tell me right away, what is Shadecraft?
Well, Shadecraft was a dream that came true this year as we launched at CES. Shadecraft primarily is focused on improving human life outdoors through robotic technology. That's our mission.
And you have your first product. It's called Sunflower. Describe what it is.
Correct. Sunflower is the world's first automated robotic autonomous parasol that follows the sun. It plays your music, connects you to the Internet of Things, provides security. It has machine learning, works with solar energy, and we're really excited to launch it.
So you're combining a few worlds here, right? So in layman's terms, what worlds are you really combining here?
Well, in essence, we brought the Internet of Things outdoors for the first time in a meaningful way. We believe that the parasol was the most logical way to bring the IoT outdoors and have AI connectivity in a product. You wouldn't necessarily speak to your barbecue or, you know, let's say your chaise lounge. But the parasol is a really viable object to collect solar energy. And as a result of that, the automation is something that is an added plus, because the automation allows the object to follow the sun in the optimal way to collect the best amount of energy. But because of that, it can retain its energy throughout the day, so it can be on without any electricity and connect to the Internet of Things through AI. And you can speak to it, which is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, so from a functional standpoint, it does its basic thing of shading the sun.
Correct.
But then obviously so much more. So what are some of the other functions?
Well, at the core, it's AI integrated. So you speak to it, it makes your life much, much more comfortable. You can sit next to it and say, can you read me a podcast? Can you play my music? Can you pay my bills? Can you turn off my lights?
Even paying bills, wow.
Of course, eventually, yes.
That's incredible. And not everyone knows what the Internet of Things is, so explain what that is for those who don't know.
Well, in broad terms, it's basically connecting the infrastructure, all of the things that are connected to the cloud and their communication on the cloud, allowing certain things to happen and take place. So there's many different ways to describe what the Internet of Things is. So
how did you come up with this idea?
It actually... 2006, summer, I was with my kids outdoors, and I've always wanted to design innovative shading systems. But at that time, technology wasn't as prevalent as it is today with all the sensors that are available to us today. And we were trying to move the parasol around, and then I asked my son to go and get a speaker so we can listen to music as I was trying to barbecue, etc. And it just makes sense to combine some of these technologies. We have the technology and a lot of other things, but I don't think anyone kind of attempted to put all of this outdoors for the first time. And I think that's something that really, it's got its challenges, but from heat, just weather, a lot of other challenges that we have to face. But I think, for us it was exciting to go through that challenge.
So how do you overcome some of those challenges of heat and weather, like you said?
With a lot of thinking, ingenuity, and literally testing and hard work. I think that We've been looking at some of these technologies for years now and trying to figure out, for example, a car stays outside in extreme heat. So why can't we design something that behaves the same way with automation, et cetera, in a parasol? So in theory, a lot of things work. And we've tested our products, and we're excited to finally bring it to the consumer this year. So.
Cool. Yeah. So I know you have a design background. What are some of the other experiences that you've had that have really allowed you to make something so innovative?
I kind of go back to my childhood. I think one of the most interesting toys I ever played with was Fischer Technik, which is a German version of like Legos. And I remember being super frustrated as a 7-8-year-old when my dad bought the box for the first time. He's a mechanical engineer. And Fischer Technik allowed me to understand gears and motors and torsion and et cetera. So my fascination for mechanical components started at a really young age. Even though I went into design, I kind of do not see a separation between industrial design and mechanical engineering, because I think that successful industrial design has to integrate great mechanical engineering, vice versa. And our products are going to exemplify the idea of industrial design and mechanical engineering together, because they're not so separated. Mm-hmm. Everything has to integrate together.
And obviously, you're creating things that have never been created before. So give me some insight into, going into new uncharted territory.
Well, that kind of boils down to my personality. I try to take challenges, literally. And I think that it's important for everyone to look at things that way. I don't necessarily look at an industry and say, okay, this is what I need to do because this is within robotics. I look at other industries and inspired by them, and then kind of merge different industries together in my head and say, how can we apply this technology to this industry and vice versa? And this is where some of these ideas come from. It's about hybridizing different things, around various industries.
And then a lot of times in entrepreneurship, whenever you can, at least, you want to test things out to make sure there's a market for things. So that's going to be kind of tricky when I'm sure there's a lot of investment that goes into creating this kind of product. So how do you test these things out?
It's a really smart question. It's a question that's been brought up, especially, as you can imagine, from people who are interested in investing in the company. Really, we don't have, we can't really go out and say, what do you think about, is there any study done on intelligent parasol systems? If everyone thought that way, then we'd not have any innovative items around. So I think that what we are doing, in essence, is creating Sunflower's own industry, which is, for the first time, we kind of made parasols that were designed prior to Sunflower, all a thing of the past. We did not look at just the parasol industry and shading industry. We looked at the smart home industry. When people are outdoors, they need connectivity. They need AI integration outdoors. They needed speakers outdoors. They wanted to charge their phone outdoors, etc. They wanted a security camera that could move around. So what we did is we looked at multiple industries, and what we are doing is actually combining them.
Right.
So at the heart of this, I think we've effectively disrupted two industries. We've effectively disrupted the parasol industry and the IoT by bringing it outdoors for the first time.
Yeah. Now, you touched on investors. What are some of the other obstacles that you encounter when you're pitching to investors?
You're always going to have skeptics. And this is for entrepreneurs that are younger and people who are setting up with their new businesses every day. And one of the things you're going to hear constantly is there are going to be people that are going to be skeptics. I remember a gentleman almost last year, asked me the question, why would I need an intelligent umbrella outside my home? I said, I can answer, give you 10 reasons why you would need one, but if you can answer why you would need an intelligent toilet, I would explain to you why you would need an intelligent umbrella. So, for example, there's a successful company, Toto, that sells toilets upwards of thousands of dollars, right? So it has no cameras, thank God.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't play music. It doesn't connect you to the Internet of Things. And yet people spend money to purchase it. And so there's going to be skeptics. And the most important thing I would say to the young entrepreneur is people aspiring to create a business, even if you're older and you want to start a new thing, there's always going to be 10 reasons why something's not necessarily going to work. And you should carefully analyze them and tactically understand why they're not working. But you shouldn't dwell on it. You should believe in the one reason that it will.
Hmm.
And that's a quote. The quote actually goes, forget the 10 reasons why it won't work and believe in the one. And in a business environment, I think you have to be more prudent and responsible. So I wouldn't say forget the 10 reasons. I would say understand the 10 reasons. Analyze them, but then don't dwell on them. And believe in the one that will.
And you have investors on board, correct?
Correct.
So tell me about, give me a little bit of insight into the investors that you've gotten on board and what that's like.
Well, first and foremost, our focus has been to, we were successful enough, we're blessed actually. We initially went out for a raise for seed round, and we doubled that based on people's faith and belief in the product. And we are opening up the doors to the next series now. And our goal is to primarily finish up the betas to have the consumers in the U.S. test it. And I know that the world's waiting for this, but first it's going to be for the U.S. consumer. And once the U.S. consumer gives their opinion, it'll go to the rest of the world. I'm really proud that it's an American company. We want to manufacture here. I know we're swimming, upstream, but it's been a paradigm for my other company as well, Lounge 22. We built in the U.S. and we built in L.A. And we know we can do it.
Very cool. Well, so much more when we come back with my guest, Armin Garabagian. He's the CEO and founder of Shadecraft, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
Available in all states.
Mom, look! Frozen yogurt! Can we get some?
Wow, a frozen yogurt robot. I've never seen anything like this.
Look at all the toppings! I want sprinkles!
Go ahead, sweetie. Choose what you want. Here it goes.
Oh, wow! It's actually filling my yogurt! And there are my sprinkles!
So how does it taste?
Amazing!
Want a taste?
A taste? I want my own.
That was the sound of a delicious frozen yogurt being served by an actual robot. It was the sound of a Reese & Irby's Froyo robot, a fully automated, revolutionary robotic vending machine that serves 7 different flavors of delicious frozen treats with up to 6 toppings in under 60 seconds. Customers choose their flavors, select their toppings, and the robot does the rest. Amazing Froyo creations at any high-traffic location. Malls, hospitals, movie theaters, practically anywhere. You can now own a package of your own Froyo robots as an exclusive franchise opportunity. Want to learn more? Simply go to FroyoFranchising.com and enter promo code 5353. That's FroyoFranchising.com. Promo code 5353. Reese & Irby's is a subsidiary of Generation X.
Welcome to Staples.
Oh, Staples guy, help. I need a presentation printed fast.
We can print same or next day.
Oh, but my budget has me handcuffed.
Well, right now, get 20% off select print and marketing services orders, $50 or more.
Staples guy, you're my hero.
I prefer Prince Charming. You know, Prince, because of our printing.
Yep, I got it.
Now during Small Business Week at Staples, get 20% off select print and marketing services orders, $50 or more. Ends 5/6/17. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/smallbiz for details.
Now, the club for Biz Talk Radio listeners and your biz. The Biz TV Club is where you can watch some of your favorite Biz Talk Radio hosts and others on the go, on demand, on Android, desktop, Roku, and more. Never miss an episode of your favorite Biz TV shows and have the 24/7 Biz Talk Radio stream at your fingertips. Watch anytime, anywhere for just $5.95 a month with a free trial by using promo code RADIO. Go to bizradioclub.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605.
You're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is my rock star, Armin Garabedian. He is the CEO and founder of Shadecraft. And we were just talking about how you manufacture in L.A., and that's unique. That's very unique. What are some of the challenges and insights that you maybe have for manufacturing in the U.S.?
Well, I think first and foremost, we want to manufacture in the U.S. It just makes sense. We have incredible technology, incredible labor. Of course, there's sensors and companies around the world that partake in any robotic project that we would need to basically work on. However, I think there's enough industries here and a lot of experts and companies that are at our fingertips, literally from the aircraft industry to other industries that are in L.A. I think it's a gold mine.
So first of all, know that it's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think anything is possible. I think part of the challenge is not finding the resources to manufacture something in L.A. I think the challenge has to do with the consumer understanding that it's not just a inexpensive product that could be manufactured without quality in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. I think when the consumer is educated and cares about the fact that it is coming from the U.S., and it's from a U.S. company, I think that paradigm shift will allow companies to really focus in. The price point is the issue. Obviously, our goal is to make objects and robots that are affordable to the mass. However, as we launch, especially with Sunflower, the initial Sunflowers might not be that readily accessible to every consumer. Our goal is to make less expensive product, and as we scale up in terms of economy of scale, I think that we could work with vendors in the U.S. I think if we all come together, instead of sort of working against each other sometimes, which is the challenge we see, I think that we can make this work.
And you were at CES this year.
Yes.
And that was where you launched the product. Yes. So what was that like, launching at CES?
Actually, it was a blessing. I was not expecting the kind of press we had. The press we received, that it was really unusual, is like a revolution. Both people in the industry, consumers, people in robotics, we had such great, turnout and really incredible, response. That kind of was the paradigm for us to show that our concept was working and the fact that our prototype was working. And now our goal is to get the betas done so we can bring this to the public.
Right. So a lot of entrepreneurs ask you for advice, and a common question you shared with me that you get is, how do I be successful? And you mentioned to me that that's kind of the wrong question to ask, or at least it's not specific enough. So tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Correct. I think for me, it's always, you know, one of the questions I've had years ago, an entrepreneur asked me, a young entrepreneur, he wanted me to be his mentor. He said, you know, I want to, you know, learn from you. And I said, absolutely, I'd love to bring you in and you can, you know, work with me. And I said, what is it that you want to do in the future? He said, I want to be successful. And I think that's completely the wrong direction. I think that you should follow your passion. Believe in what you want to do. And, you know, through adversity or difficulty, you should push forward and success will just follow. If you don't give up, I have two sons, and one of the most important things for me to teach them is the fact that it doesn't really matter if they're getting an A or a C today in math or English. What's more important to me is that they start something and they finish it. And they go through the process in a full circle and understand that. Even if they fail, they need to try again. And so I would say that the most important thing is follow your passion and don't back down.
And complete it.
Complete it, exactly. Don't leave things half done.
You were sharing that entrepreneurs often want to follow other successful entrepreneurs' paths, like obviously Uber, for example, wildly right. successful. It's easy to right. go, how do I do exactly what Uber did? But right. you like to think outside of the box and really pave a path that hasn't been paved before. So tell me a little bit
Correct.
About that.
Well, I just think that there's, to each person, there's their, you know, there's a certain kind of parameter for themselves internally of what success means to them. And then there's success seen from the outside as well. And I think we very quickly attach ourselves to generic things that we're very used to around us. And so we can use an example, oh, this guy did that or that woman did that. And they were successful, so I can do the same. And we use them as role models sometimes. However, I think that you yourself as an entrepreneur need to sort of set your own example for others in your own way, within your own you know, understanding and your own architectural design of what your company is going to be and let other people use you as an example. It's good to study what people have done and it's good to be informed, but it's also good not to fall within a specific paradigm or norm.
So give me a little insight into how you've done that in your business.
Okay, well, one of the things, for example, that I do is I just had an interesting question for my robotics team. We're trying to figure out a specific joint, the exterior versus the interior mechanical components. And if we look at it just from the standpoint of robotics only, that I see that as being inside the reservation. So I sometimes inspire them to look outside. And for example, if you look at how innovative clothing is, and for example, the shoe industry, what kind of technologies and advances there have been in just literally plastics in the last several years and rubbers and fusing them together. I think that if we look at some other industries, we can definitely innovate within the industry. So I would say don't necessarily, if your field is in robotics or if it's in medicine or if it's in IT or whatever it may be in, don't necessarily look at it from that paradigm. Come outside the reservation, look at other industries and what they have done, and you might find something in the delta between the two. That might be a new idea.
Yeah. And you used to be a professor, or are you still a professor?
I wish I was. My time doesn't permit.
I would imagine. Okay, so you used to be a professor, and that's something that you would really teach your students is how to think outside of the box. So how
Correct.
Do you teach that?
Well, it's a mindset. I think that we're so conditioned from the time that we leave our house, every red light we have to stop at, and then when you go basically to a building, your office, you take generally the same amount of steps to get into your office, you know, take the same amount of steps to get to your bathroom. Our lives are conditioned. So when you start looking at things from outside that perspective, for example, VR is going to open up a whole new world. Mm-hmm. When you can fly into your office like a bug, you're going to be able to travel in a different way, and that's going to open up a lot of creativity. What Box was a course that I was teaching about thinking differently and approaching things from a slightly different context.
So you had to stop being a professor, but you do still run your two other companies. So you have Correct. Three companies. How Correct. Do you balance it all?
Well, the goal is that in the next couple of years, as two of my companies are more on autopilot, I would kind of step away and be the president of those companies and allow a CEO to come in and continue them. My passion right now in the next 15, 20 years is in mechatronics and robotics and trying to really help people outdoors.
That's where you're going.
So, yeah, that's
big,
where I'm going.
Big vision ahead.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for
thank
your
you.
Time. Such interesting and fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Whole new world to me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Armin Garabedian, he's the CEO and founder of Shadecraft. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
Better lighting and marking of farm equipment leads to fewer highway crashes. The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for Earth, for life.
I'm the neighbor that drives a Kubota. I scout, venture off the beaten path, tow, haul, fuel my passion. To be part of a bigger picture, this is why I do it. Kubota. Right now, a Kubota RTV can be yours with zero down and 0% financing for up to 48 months. See your local Kubota dealer today.
Now through May 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one, and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us, our guest today, is Stephanie Newby. She's the CEO of Crimson Hexagon. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Mark.
So tell me, what does your company, Crimson Hexagon, do?
Crimson Hexagon is a social media analytics company. So we actually collect about 500 million posts of social media every day.
Wow.
And we've got
500 million?
Yeah, and we've got over 900 billion posts of social media data that we've collected since inception. And this is full of insights from consumers because people talk about products and things they like and things they don't like. And it's a gold mine for marketers, so we make that available to marketers.
How did you get into the social media world?
Me personally?
Of course.
Yes. So I actually started a company called Golden Seeds, and it's an investment company, and we started based in New York, but it's now national, and it invests in women entrepreneurs. And so we started seeing a lot of social media companies come in the door from those early days back in 2005.
So is that company still around?
Yes, absolutely. Running perfectly well without me, I'm pleased to say.
That's one of the best ways to set up a business, right? Is it just keeps paying you for something that you put work on years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope it pays me one day.
So, Crimson Hexagon, what are you guys doing right now in your business? Focusing on getting more customers? What's like your primary focus right now for that business?
So we got growth capital earlier this year. So we've actually just hired 100 people. So we're at almost 200 people, doubling the workforce. So making sure...
In 1 year.
Yeah, in a year. And making sure that we really, you know, integrate those people well, get them properly trained. And next year we'll be going more global because we've got 40 people in the UK now, but we'll be setting up an Asia Pacific office next year.
So What do you think are some of the, I guess, mistakes, so to speak, that people are making when it comes to online? Because, you know, I always say that there's literally like newborn babies on social media all the way up to, you know, you've got your older people who are just starting to kind of catch up to the trends of social media and starting to really learn about it. And so we've got everybody from the whole spectrum of ages from all over the world, over a billion people alone just use Facebook. So what are some of the mistakes you see people making, and what are some things that people should be doing when it comes to leveraging social media for their businesses?
Well, I think it goes back to being culturally aware. So one mistake that springs to mind is Coke that sent a bunch of, you know, young white kids to Mexico to launch a new type of Coke or new bottle. I don't remember the exact thing there. But that was seen as being very ingratiating to the Mexicans, that they needed these, you know, white kids from the U.S. to come and show them how to do something.
And it wasn't very congruent.
Not exactly. So I think you've really got to do still the deep research. And now there's a lot of information available about audiences, different cultures, how those things are going to be received. So just because somebody else made something go viral doesn't mean it will translate very well. And typically, if you try to replicate somebody else's viral campaign, it'll fall flat second time around.
And the good news is that in the, if we're talking about the United States right now, you know, there's approximately around, under, plus or minus, right, 400 million people in the U.S. alone. Odds are a very large portion, probably hundreds of thousands or millions of people, fall into your target audience and demographic for whatever your product or service is. And so you don't really need to shift gears and go international depending on your product or service. And if you do, I love your advice. Cultural shifts can really change how congruent you need to be with your messaging and different things like that. And I think if you dominate social media, it's one thing. But at the end of the day, one thing that every company has to have crucially buttoned down is their company culture. And you guys just went from approximately 100 employees to 200 employees in a year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
So with that type of a jump, going from 100 employees to doubling the amount to 200 in 1 year, what are some things you guys are doing for company culture?
Well, first of all, we made sure up front that we knew exactly who we were hiring, and not just at the senior level, but all of the hiring managers had real clarity on exactly who they were hiring, what they were looking for. And I think that helped a lot, sort of a lot of good planning in advance.
Yeah.
And then we had a motto, which is we want to make sure that we hire at a rate that will enable people to thrive. Because rather than just bringing people in and, you know, tossing them into seats, we therefore also created an onboarding program. So we really, for the first time, gave a lot more background information and context to people when they join. So that worked very well.
I love that. That's a good frame to put around it, is we hire them with a salary that will enable them to grow, which is something that I feel like some companies are really missing the boat on. CEO of Crimson Hexagon, Stephanie Newby, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're talking about company culture right now. I want to know something that you feel like you guys are doing that's helping your company culture be an environment that helps your employees thrive. In addition to what you just said, give us one more thing.
So I want to qualify that one, which is I meant that we're hiring people slowly or quickly enough to make sure that they can really thrive once they land there. Yeah. Let's hope they're happy. They join because they're happy with the salary, let's say that. But I think we also, I actually one day got in front of the company and just said, I don't like our company values, I'm going to start over. And so then put a lot more thought into what behaviors we were really trying to cultivate. And so together with the team, my executive team, we came up with three really simple values, which are be professional. So that's about, you know, what's your personal brand? And I feel that it's more important that you gain a good reputation than a good resume. So that's really all in your behaviors.
Because one's just on paper, and then the reputation is what people actually think about you.
That's right. And then the second one is be humble. And that's because I really want to find learning people. And I feel that that's a matter of your ego. Can you back away from an entrenched position that you had because you've just gotten new information? And are you comfortable asking questions when maybe you were the person that was supposed to know the answer? Yeah. And so that's to create a learning environment. And our third one is to be humble. And is to be human, sorry. Yeah. And for me, that's about making sure that our relationships are really good at work. And that's based on, can you handle conflict well? So becoming masters of conflict is really important to me, because if you have good relationships, then you can be happy. In the end, that's what we want.
So I love the last one especially, and that's the one that I want to kind of question you on, is how are you teaching them to, I guess, resolve conflict resolution, so to speak? Because a lot of people in business and just in life in general, whether you have a job, whether you're married, whether you're just a living human being, at some point in your life, maybe it's a consistent thread, maybe it's not, we're going to have conflict. Mm-hmm. And someone's ability to communicate effectively will really determine their ability to resolve conflict. So what is maybe one or two things you teach people to better communicate?
Well, for me, it's about actually caring about the outcome. So if you're willing to confront somebody because you disagree with what they're saying, it's because you really both want to get to the right conclusion. So you've got to be willing to have a good, tough conversation to get to it. And I think that's being intellectually honest. And I do think we've got a lot of bright people at Crimson Hexagon. They really do believe in the company and want to get to the right answer. So I encourage us to just keep thrashing it out. And what you've got to do is sort of take a second dimension view of a discussion when you're leading the discussion, so that you can call out the emotions that are going on in the room and not just get caught up in the topic of conversation itself. And by just saying, look, I see you got a bit upset when we touched on that point, let's talk about that. Why do you feel that way? That in itself can release some of the tension.
So that's kind of something that I've learned in psychology, is disassociation. Disassociate yourself from the emotions of the conversation so that you can look at it from a better position,
right?
Because a lot of times I feel like people are too associated and they let their emotions kind of influence how they're going to communicate. And a lot of times we look back and we go, oh, you know, you're right. I let my emotions get the best of me and I shouldn't have said that. And
right.
I could have probably conducted myself better. And so if you can learn to disassociate from the emotions that come with communication, I feel like it allows people to communicate a lot better.
And the thing I hate the most probably is passive aggressiveness.
Because, give me an example.
Well, if you're in a meeting and somebody's doesn't agree with the outcome of the, you know, of where we're taking the decision, for example, but won't say anything, and then afterwards go and undermine it.
Yeah.
And that's much more, I think, destructive activity.
So transparency would be something that's really conducive to helping people not only communicate more effectively, but also avoid undermining and people being like, oh, I hate that, I'm not going to say anything though. And then they go and they're poisoned in the office.
That's right, yeah. You've got to have it out in the meeting. So you've got to create a bond with the people in the room to create that commitment to actually put all the cards on the table.
Fantastic advice. Transparency is not only a valuable technique on social media these days, but especially when it comes to the workforce. You've got a lot of wisdom. You've been in business for a long time, and you've been working for a long time.
Do I look that old?
No. I just mean you have so much wisdom to share with us. And so for a lot of the beginning entrepreneurs out there, they can learn a lot from you. So what do you feel like maybe are two or three things from your experience that every beginning entrepreneur needs to either learn to adopt or needs to be aware of on their journey?
Well, I think one thing is delegation. And one of the things I've always done is thought, when I get too busy myself, then I start thinking, what am I doing that someone else can do? And you know, as soon as I can afford to hire that next person, that's what I'm going to have them do. So I think that's really important. And also, I think getting a lot of advice is really important. Ultimately, though, I actually think getting a lot of advice, but then you've got to make the decision. Mm. What's really important is that you don't start saying, well, so-and-so told me to do this, so I'm doing that, or so-and-so, because then you can always have an excuse for why it didn't work out. It's like, oh, he told me I should do that.
So deflecting responsibility.
Right, but you've got to integrate all of that, and then you've got to make the decision that you think's right for yourself and for your company. So that would be my advice.
That's a fantastic one. So a lot of beginning entrepreneurs, I feel like, they understand, or should understand, the importance of networking and building out their connections. I feel like something that's not talked about a lot is after you've, you know, been in business for 10 years, 20 years, or beyond, is networking still a key principle that you rely on to build your business?
I think it's really important, and it's an essential thing for a CEO. And in fact, I think a company has really matured when a CEO can stop looking internally and be more externally facing. And so that's because you're representing the company to the outside world, and you've got to make partnerships, you've got to be out talking to customers. I find that, you know, one of the most happy, you know, moments of my day is when I'm actually meeting with customers and getting feedback directly from them. So, yeah, I think it's really important. Networking is something you can't ever really give up on. And it's tough. I'm kind of an introvert, so I have to push myself for that one.
Me as well. I think that even when you're an introvert, you have to learn to push through being uncomfortable, because a lot of the times that's where your greatest success comes from. Stephanie, it's a pleasure having you on the show. You're full of wisdom and advice. This is an awesome segment. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text DISCOVER to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 88% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, text DISCOVER to 35517. That's DISCOVER to 35517.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews, so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
So what's trending in marketing these days that you need to know about in order to grow your business? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us to answer that question is our guest, Eric Sue, who's the CEO of Single Grain. So Eric, tell us what's trending in marketing that we need to know about to be growing our business.
Yeah, so if you're interested in generating more leads, I'll give you something tactical right now.
Okay.
Gmail advertising is something built within Google AdWords that you can use to actually generate more leads, and it's very cheap right now because not a lot of people are doing it. So
Gmail marketing, give me some context. So I'm maybe an online business selling a product or service. How can I use Gmail marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you what Gmail ads look like first. So when you go into your Gmail account, you'll see a promotions tab, and when you click on that, you're going to see ads show up on the first two results.
Okay.
Those are where you're slotting in your ads. And let's say, for example, one client we helped in the senior living space. Mm. They're looking to generate more leads for their website. So literally, they're just saying, okay, here, you know, find assisted living help for free. They click on it, they go to the website, and then they fill out a lead form. And that company, I'll just give you some examples, their cost per acquisition, so their target to acquire a lead was $150, but using Gmail ads, they were getting a lead for as cheap as $7, and they were highly qualified. So this is something you might want to look into if you're running any type of online business and you're running any ads at all. This might be something to take a look at.
So I have to go in my Gmail and click the promotions tab mm-hmm. to see it, but why would I choose to click, as the consumer, why would I choose to click the promotions tab? Is it syndicated advertisements and content that I've chosen? Is it just any type of ad based on how the person's choosing to target me? What is it like?
Great question. So with Gmail advertising, if I'm Coca-Cola, for example, I can target people opening emails from Pepsi.com, Monster, or Red Bull, whatever it is exactly. It's targeting specific texts within the emails that you're opening that are inside of your inbox.
So they are targeted based on my unique user behavior?
Correct.
Okay, but again, I think the difference in maybe a Facebook ad or a standard online ad is why am I, as the consumer, choosing to click on the promotions tab when we live in an era now where I feel like most people are investing in things like TiVo to skip commercials and investing in ad blockers to block the ads. Why would I, as the consumer, choose to click on the promotions tabs to see ads?
Great question. And why indeed? So I think this is those situations where it depends on the type of business that you're in. Mm-hmm. If you're in a senior space, the people that we're targeting are 40 to 60 years old. These are the children of the parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 40 to 60 years old, they probably don't have ad blockers installed. You and I, we would never click the promotions tab. I've actually never clicked on a Gmail ad in my life.
I didn't even know it existed, and I'm in the online marketing space. And
there you go.
I mean, I've heard of lots of different Google advertising platforms, but a Gmail ad under the promotion tab, I haven't even heard that.
Fact of the matter is you and I will never click it, but we have to consider the age.
Okay, so that is a tactic that can be utilized depending on your context of your business and your offer?
Exactly.
Okay, so what are some other things that we can do to capitalize on generating leads?
Yeah, so I think Gary Vee talks about arbitraging or being a day trader when it comes to arbitraging attention.
Yeah.
So for him, you look at the spots that aren't being utilized fully yet. Snapchat would be a great example. It's not fully developed.
Yeah.
So that's something you might consider attacking if you're targeting millennials or even people younger than that. So Snapchat, Instagram stories, people talk about influencer marketing, that space is getting bigger and bigger. You can obviously use tools like FameBit out there to find these influencers, and there's also other tools being built out there. But I think under this foundation is the point is you have to be able to put out great content out there and to build a brand for the long term. You and I talked about this before, and it takes a long time to build a brand. So people talk about content marketing, and that's what it takes. You have to be willing to put out valuable stuff for free and not expect anything back. And people say, oh, well, I've tried this content marketing thing before. Well, how long did you do it for? Well, we tried it for like 2 months. And we wrote like 4 articles. It just doesn't work for us.
It's like saying I'm trying to lose 100 pounds and I went to the gym for 30 days.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Well,
takes a long time, takes a lot of hard work, right, to get where you want to go. And again, I think it comes down to patience.
CEO of Single Grain, Eric Sue, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What do you feel like is, holding people back a lot of the times from creating content? Because you, just as I feel like, have met people that are like, hey, I don't think that makes sense for me. I'm a chiropractor. Like, why do I need to be creating content online and marketing that? Maybe I sell hard products, like tangible products. I'm not online providing a coaching service or a SaaS product. Why should I be creating content? What do you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, so, at the end of the day...
That's common, though, right?
It's a lot of people happens like, all the time.
I don't need to create content.
I actually heard this conversation yesterday as I was walking by. Walking by somewhere, I don't know, but I just heard that. Why would I ever do that? Because people want results quickly. And the thing is, they're too impatient to actually create great content that helps people. Why would I want to help other people? Well, guess what? If people are searching for something, if they're saying, red shoe reviews or something like that, well, they're further down the funnel and they're ready to make a purchase decision, right? You want to catch them at a certain decision point. You want to be there. You want to show up. Or maybe if they're not ready to buy it, you're the one that educated them. At the very least, you can retarget these people down the road when they're ready to buy. Mm-hmm. So the content shouldn't be... When you think about digital marketing, content is just a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Paid ads, you have SEO, you have marketing funnel, you have everything. Everything is a holistic strategy now. You don't want to just say, we don't need this leg right here. Let's just throw it away. Let's just live off of one leg. You don't want to cut your leg off.
It's so interesting because, I've worked with so many different people that have totally not had any idea that having a personal brand or creating content online would be a sustainable long-term strategy to grow their business and get more brand awareness, generate leads, retain customers longer, mm-hmm. build a tribe and a community. It can be beneficial. Do you think that that's a true statement that most people should look at, not only creating content we're talking about, but building a personal brand?
Absolutely. I think the brand thing is what people should be aiming for right now. Yeah. You hear a lot of people, especially in our space, online space, the hardest thing is building the audience first. After you build the audience, you can do virtually whatever you want.
Yeah.
But people like to work with people at the end of the day. People listening to this right now or listening to podcasts out there, when they start to get more and more familiar with you, they trust you, and it's just easier to make that decision. And that's just what happens. So I don't think, in the past, maybe it's all focused on, let's just drive people to this product page and get them to buy immediately. But now it's not so easy anymore because you talk about ad blockers, it's growing more and more, 100 million, couple $100 million business now, but like it's getting bigger and bigger. So you have to be able to break through the noise, add value to people first, and then the more value you add to people, you're just gonna get stuff back in return. That's how I see it.
Eric Sue's the expert joining us right now. A pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Biz Talk Radio.